So let's take that attitude into the Word this morning. We've been in Matthew chapter 6, and we've been unpacking the Lord's Prayer, kind of phrase by phrase, and trying to see what Jesus is teaching us through this prayer. It's not just a prayer to repeat, although there is value in that, but it is a prayer that highlights the very nature of Jesus' ministry on earth, and it highlights the very nature of what it means to live as a Christian. And so as we pray, we pray into that, and we pray into what Christ has done for us and what he's empowering us to do. So Pastor Joe did a great job last week of talking about the daily bread that we pray for, that we are praying to our Father who loves us and supplies our every need on a day-to-day basis. So as we go from there, we also see another thing that we need on a day-to-day basis, that we need to continue to receive from our Father. We need to remind ourselves that we possess so that it can actually change the way we live. And that thing that we need is forgiveness. That we need God's forgiveness. Jesus says in his prayer, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Then after the prayer, he adds this commentary in verse 14 and 15. He says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us a parable that illustrates this teaching very well. So let me read it for you. It's in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, if you want to flip there, but it will be on the screen. It says, "Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Now, Jesus isn't putting a limit on forgiveness. Peter was. He was saying, you know, seven times seems pretty generous, and then I can just say, no, not anymore. But Jesus, by saying 77, he's saying unlimited. Forgiveness is unlimited, that we always choose to forgive no matter what. Then in verse 23, he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven," and remember, we're praying for God's kingdom to come. "The kingdom of heaven," he says, "is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceling the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So this is one of the sayings they call the hard sayings of Jesus. And so let's take our time to look at this. But looking at the Lord's Prayer itself, you know, there's no part of Christianity that claims that Jesus' followers will have it all together and be right all the time. That's why Jesus actually teaches us a prayer that asks us on a daily basis, that tells us on a daily basis to ask for forgiveness. It's not because every time we make a mistake, we've suddenly lost our salvation, but it's because sin creates a barrier of relationship. And sin needs to be dealt with quickly on a daily basis so that our relationship with God, our relationship with our Abba, remains strong, remains without barrier. So he says, daily to ask for forgiveness. And when we ask God for forgiveness, we're not letting him in on a secret. You know, he knows, right? He knows what we did. It's not like, oh my goodness. Oh my me. Like, what? I can't believe you just... No, he knows. He knows. But it's coming into agreement with God. It's saying, God, yes, I agree with you that what I did was wrong. And I agree that it is only you that I can receive forgiveness from. So Abba, would you forgive me of my sin? The Apostle John, in one of his letters, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess. But Jesus makes this challenging and very clear point. He says, our access to God's forgiveness is conditional upon our willingness to forgive others. Now, of course, we read the story of, it's called the story of the unmerciful servant. We read this story and we go, yeah, justice was done. I mean, this guy, he was forgiven all this debt, and he wouldn't even go forgive the small debt of somebody else who owed him money. Yeah, justice was done. Good job, king. Well done. You did what was right. But then in our own lives, we receive the incredible, lavish forgiveness of God, and we still go out and we collect debts from those who have sinned against us. We act just like this servant, and then when we read this text, we go, oh, God's not going to forgive me if I don't forgive people. That's not very just. Whereas when you read it about somebody else, we go, yes. It's hard when the judgment falls upon us. But Jesus makes this clear and difficult statement. Let's be honest. Isn't revenge the more natural response to injustice? When somebody does something to you, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, when somebody's tailgating you, when somebody jumps in the line, oh, I'm going to have to wait 2 extra minutes. I'm going to get them. It just feels much more natural so often. There's a movie. Actually, every single action movie is based on revenge, isn't it? All the good ones, at least. There's a movie, I don't know if you've seen it, it's called Taken with Liam Neeson. And there's a scene where his daughter is about to be kidnapped, and she calls her dad on the phone. And she's talking to him, and he's giving her instructions, and she gets taken, and suddenly, you know, Liam Neeson's character is on the phone with the kidnapper, and he says, actually, let's just watch it.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me and my mentor feel like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Oh. That's a setup for a good movie, isn't it? My goodness. But we, you know, for some reason, you know, our natural fleshy heart is just attuned to that. Yeah, go get them. Because as soon as revenge happens, then the world is peaceful again, right? Everything gets fixed as soon as we get revenge. No? It's so natural for children to take revenge. You know, there's two kids and one of them is playing with a truck and the other one comes up and steals the truck. And then the first one comes back, and not only does he steal the truck back, but he takes it and he whacks the first kid over the head with it. And then everything's fine, right? The kids get along because revenge is taken and everything's even, right? No. It turns into hitting and biting and screaming and yelling and bum spanking and all those things, and it just continues to escalate. You see, revenge doesn't actually fix anything. Yeah, exactly. There's a sequel and then another sequel and more people die. Thanks, John. Tim Keller says this, when you try to get payment through revenge, the evil does not disappear. Instead, it spreads, and it spreads most tragically of all onto you and your own character. See, revenge just creates more problems, and worst of all, it darkens our own hearts, it stains our soul, it mangles our own character. Margaret Stunt said it well, too. Unforgiveness is like drinking deadly poison and hoping the other person dies. The only person we are hurting by not forgiving, the only person we are hurting by taking revenge is ourselves. It poisons us and destroys us. You know the story of Romeo and Juliet? You know the Montagues and the Capulets? They had this ancient family feud. Do you remember what Shakespeare said was the source of the family feud? No. because he didn't. And isn't that true when it comes to revenge? That in the end, it could have been the littlest slight, the littlest thing that somebody did, and then it snowballed, and the worst thing that ever happened between the two families wasn't the first thing. And revenge just created this huge rift and eventually destroyed two young people's lives. That's the cycle of revenge that we get into. It's not going to fix anything. So what's the solution? When we're in pain, when something has been stolen, when our heart has been broken, when our dreams have been taken from us, when our hope is gone, how can the healing begin? Well, there's the one end of the spectrum of revenge, and then there's the other end of the spectrum of, you know, there's this silly saying that says, time heals all wounds. Well, is that true? You know, if I go for a hike this summer and I get bit by a rattlesnake, should I just say, give it time? No, because wounds fester, wounds get deeper, wounds get worse. Time does not heal our wounds either. How can we go on to heal? Jesus gives us the answer. It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness empowered by his great and lavish forgiveness of us. Tertullian, an early church leader, said, you want to be happy for a while? Revenge. You want to be happy forever? Forgive. So how can we do this? How can we do this? Let's look at what Jesus is teaching us here. First of all, the debt of sin. In the parable we read, we learned about a king who was settling his accounts and calling in everybody who owed him money. And there was this one servant who owed him an incredible amount of money. And it's hard to calculate exactly with ancient money, but what I read is that it was potentially like $1 billion or billions of dollars. Like, that's a big debt. And so the guy begs for mercy. Hey, I don't have it on me right now, but can you give me some time? And the king just says, you know what? I'm gonna cancel the debt. You don't owe me any money anymore. You can go free. Now that's like, I'm gonna call the bank and read them this story and see if they get inspired, and because that's the good news right there. But, you know, debt is a major problem in our culture. I mean, it's kind of how we do business. We basically do everything on debt these days, and we pay off credit cards with credit cards. And a lot of people have accrued incredible amounts of debt. You look at student loans these days, and they've grown like crazy. And then, actually, after students graduate university, they have a hard time getting into the field they studied for, so they work a minimum wage job and have a 200-year repayment plan on their loans, and then the government takes away their licenses, and they can't drive to work, right? Anyone been reading that? Anyways. But it's a huge challenge in our society, but what we're often not aware of is our spiritual debt. Our spiritual debt. That we've actually, our sin is actually like making withdrawals out of a bank account where we don't have the balance to cover it. And we keep withdrawing and withdrawing and withdrawing, and we accrue this incredible spiritual debt. So Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. In the Lord's Prayer version in Luke's Gospel, Luke says, forgive us our sins. So these words, sins and debts, are synonymous, that sin is like debt and debt is like sin. And this is how we treat people who sin against us. We treat them like they owe us something. We treat them like they've stolen something from us. We treat them like they are in debt to us. You know, when we've experienced the loss of a dream, it feels like a debt. It feels like we're in a hole that we need to get out of. When our life is turned into plan B instead of plan A, it feels like we've lost something and we're trying to get it back. We've lost love. We've lost family. It's like there's a debt. Somehow, how do we fill this? How do we get this back? But these things can't be paid back with money. But they still feel like a debt. Another word for revenge is payback, right? That's debt language. Somebody stole something from me, and so I'm going to pay them back. I'm going to make sure they feel the same things that I felt when they hurt me. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We could say this another way. All are in debt to God, and we need forgiveness. Sin is a debt. But look at number two, the cost of forgiveness. The cost of forgiveness. Friends, there is good news. There's incredible news, actually. We're reading from the book of Matthew, which is also called the Gospel according to Matthew. And gospel means good news. The whole book is sharing the good news of Jesus. And when it's talking to us about sin and debt, it's painting a picture so that we can see how good the good news is. The good news is this, that God offers forgiveness freely to us, but at great cost to himself. The central blessing of the new covenant, the central blessing of the new deal we have because of Jesus is forgiveness. That he has poured it out on us, that he's given us forgiveness apart from the temple sacrificial system. There's no process whereby to receive forgiveness. There's no animal sacrifices. There's no having to come to a religious holy man. There's no having to come to a specific holy place. There's just, Abba, would you forgive me? Direct access and free reception of his forgiveness. Colossians 2:14 says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, Jesus has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Wouldn't it be incredible if somebody paid off all of your debt? I mean, especially if it's billions of dollars. I mean, I'm happy when someone pays for lunch, my goodness. But for But to come and just cancel your debt is incredible. But here's the thing about canceling debt. When you cancel a debt, it doesn't just disappear, does it? It doesn't just go away. It always costs somebody. If it doesn't cost me, it's going to cost somebody else. You see, the king didn't cancel the debt of the servant and then the debt suddenly vanished. When the king canceled the debt of the servant, it meant the king himself had to pay the debt. That he was on the hook for the billions of dollars. And our King Jesus, who came to cancel our debt on the cross, he didn't just say, hey, don't worry about it, and then it just disappeared. No, he had to nail himself to the cross to deal with our debt. He had to take upon himself the debt and the consequences of that debt upon his own body. Right? Our debt is so huge that it takes eternity in hell to pay it off. But Jesus came and he took hell into his heart. He took sin onto his body. He took death into his soul. And he paid our debt for us. See, it may be free for us, but the incredibly high cost went upon him. And friends, that's the good news, the great exchange. His righteousness came to us while our sin went to him on the cross. Sin is a debt. You know, if I borrowed Pastor Joe's guitar, without asking, which is basically what I'm doing right now, I'm not a good guitar player, and I started to play with this thing, and, you know, I should be working on my sermon for next week, but I'm just up here. I don't do anything during the week. I just play Pastor Joe's guitar, and then I drop it, and there's a big dent in it, and it cracks, and oh my goodness, I just put it back over here, and I walk away. But no, Pastor Joe finds out about it, and I go to Pastor Joe, and I say, Pastor Joe, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And if Pastor Joe is a good Christian, which is kind of a prerequisite for his job, he will say, Pastor Dave, I forgive you. It's all right. But as soon as that exchange happens, when I say, would you forgive me? And Pastor Joe says, I forgive you. Does the guitar suddenly magically become whole again? It's still broken. There's still a cost to fix what has been accrued. And so either I'm going to pay for it because I'm the one who caused it, or Pastor Joe is going to pay for it because he's such a good Christian and he is going to take the debt upon himself like his Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to walk in every way that Jesus walked on this earth. But friends, that's exactly what Jesus did. I mean, we've basically destroyed the world, right, if we're honest. And we say, Abba, Father, would you forgive me? And Jesus comes and he pays the debt. And because of his payment, actually the whole world is getting fixed. He paid our debt. There's always a debt to be paid. There's always a cost, but it's not us who need to pay it. Our charges are nailed to the cross. they are nailed to the cross in Christ. When someone was nailed to a cross, they would often have their charges put on a sign by their head. Jesus' charges were, you know, King of the Jews. This is this image that Paul is trying to give us in this verse in Colossians, that our charges, our indebtedness was nailed to the cross above Christ. This is what he died for our sins, to exchange with us. The only price, the only thing in the universe valuable enough to pay our incredible debt was the blood of Jesus. So what then is forgiveness? Forgiveness means giving up the right to seek repayment from the one who harmed me. It means paying the debt myself. It means refusing to punish the person who hurt me because there was one person who has taken all the punishment for all of us, and that's Jesus. He paid off my billions, therefore I can pay off the few dollars that others owe me. If we want to spread the good news, if we want to spread the gospel, one of the best ways we can do it is to spread forgiveness. It's one of the things that Christians are uniquely capable of doing because of the great forgiveness we have received from Jesus. Number three, the qualification. Verse 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive them your sins." See, in the parable, it says, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. You know, my son and I, Reuben, we went to the bank a couple weeks ago, and I was just doing some stuff there, and he was just asking about money. And, you know, you always try to teach your kids here and there in moments what's going on. And I had a loonie in my pocket. So I was like, "Hey, here, buddy, I'll give you this loonie, and you have to take care of it, and you can save it." And, you know, gave it to him. And it was so crazy. The moment he got that loonie, it was like he was Gollum, and it was his precious. Like, it was like, "I just gave that to you. You didn't even earn that." And he's like, "Dad, don't take my money. It's my money." And I was like, What is going on? And it made me want to take it back. It's like, you don't... And it's not exactly the same thing, but we understand the heart of God in this matter. We understand that he sent his son and allowed his son Christ to go through all he went through on our behalf. And when we take that and we act like my son did with that loony, he goes, "What did I do that for?" And he says, we've so not understood what he's given us that because we haven't understood it, we can't even receive it. I don't think it's so much that God takes it away as much as we haven't understood it enough to actually apply it to ourselves. And so we are unable to even receive his forgiveness. You see, we can't earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to accomplish it on our behalf. But Jesus seems to be saying that even though we can't earn it, we can give it up. We can reject it. We can pass it off by our own hearts not being willing to forgive. If my heart is unwilling to forgive, then that shows that I have not understood my own need for forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. I would go so far as to say that if I have not learned to forgive, I have not learned what it means to be a Christian. I have not learned what it means to be a follower of Christ. I have not actually responded to the call of God, and it's no wonder then that I don't have his forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone," he says, "forgive as the Lord forgave you." So that's a question we need to ask ourselves. How did the Lord forgive me? How did he forgive me? He forgave me completely. There's no residual debt. It's gone. There's no residual debt. He forgave me freely. There's no cost to me. He didn't ask me to take part of the cross for him. It's free. He forgave me before I was willing. Before I was even asking, he was willing to forgive. You know, Jesus went onto the cross way before I was willing to ask him for forgiveness. You know, sometimes we are waiting for someone to come and beg and get on their knees and say, please forgive me, before we're willing to forgive them. But once again, all we're doing is poisoning our own heart when we refuse to offer forgiveness before people are even willing to ask. That person might not even know that they've offended me. And I'm holding this grudge, and in the meantime, distorting my own character. Jesus was willing before I asked. He forgave me, and he still loves me no matter what I've done. He still loves me even though he had to pay such a high price. And he was willing to bear the consequences of my sin and stand in my place. That's how Christ forgave me. And that's how we are to forgive one another. You know, if the Lord's forgiveness doesn't motivate us, maybe this will. Forgive your enemies, it messes with their heads. I prefer to just have the Lord's forgiveness motivate me. But if this is the first step for you, let's take that. See, forgiveness is a process. It's a process. It's difficult. It's challenging. There's nothing that says what happened to you or I isn't hard, isn't really damaging, hasn't created an incredibly high debt. But we're told in Matthew 5:23-26 that if we know someone has something against us, it's our responsibility to go to them and deal with it. In Matthew 18:15-20, Jesus says that if we know that we have something against someone else, that we're to go to them and deal with it. So if we've sinned against someone or someone has sinned against us, he says the ball is in our court, that we are to go proactively deal with that relationship and offer and receive forgiveness. It's always our move. So friends, it's our move. Christ has already paid the cost. Christ has already given everything. He has already created possibility of our debt being paid. It's just a matter of us receiving it from him and allowing it to transform our hearts so that we would forgive as he's forgiven us. A few helpful thoughts as we conclude and as each of us starts to ponder in our hearts the next step and maybe a situation that you're dealing with where forgiveness is needed. It's important to know that forgiving does not mean condoning. It does not mean that what the person did is not significant. You don't say, oh, it's okay. You know, we've taught our kids this. When they've done something to each other, we get the perpetrator to come to the victim, and we say, name what you did. I'm sorry for punching you. And then the other one doesn't say, it's okay. They say, I forgive you. Because they need to understand the difference between condoning and forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting, right? If he's done it 11 times, don't just give him the same opportunity to do it a 12th time. Create barriers, create safety in that relationship. Some people are just toxic and will abuse again and again. Forgiveness sets us free from them. But we don't have to forget that. We can set up our lives to make sure that we're not hurt again. Forgiveness also doesn't necessarily mean reconciling. It takes two people to reconcile. The relationship won't necessarily go back to the way it was. God is always prepared to reconcile with us, but sometimes our relationships with each other, we can't control how another person responds, but we can control how we respond. We can forgive. And forgiveness is a different issue than justice and consequences. It's okay to call the police. You can forgive the person at the same time while they go to prison. That's okay. And lastly, forgiveness is a process. It's a process. You know, maybe there's some who came in today with a big challenge. Difficult situation, a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, big debt. Maybe today is just the first step toward forgiveness. It's just the first step to just to maybe acknowledge that, yes, this is the direction I need to go. I can't get there right now, but this is the direction I need to go to get freedom from what I'm going through. Sometimes that process just begins with a prayer and just using our mouth just to say verbally, I forgive. You may not yet believe it. You may not yet fully experience or feel the forgiveness, but the mouth begins to speak what's in the heart. And out of faith, we can say things. I mean, God spoke and the universe was created. Our words have power. And as we allow our mouths to declare, "I forgive," the forgiveness will begin by the power of God's Spirit. So maybe today that's just the first step. You don't have to let anyone else know, but the first step is just in conversation with God, just saying, "God, I forgive this person. Don't feel it in my heart yet. I don't think I actually believe this yet, but I'm going to say it as the first step. I forgive this person. I forgive this person." And allow God to begin to work with that.